Blog Talk Radio.
I think I'm on. Hello? Welcome to Did You Know? Success Leaves Footprints, and I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. As we go through history, what we've been taught and what I was taught is completely different in most cases from what actually happened, the facts of the situation, what has taken place. And I'll give you an example of that. During World War I, and I'm sorry for the interruption, we had a scheduling problem. Rather than the hour and a half that we normally have, somebody had scheduled a show for 15 minutes. And we are now resuming. And I hope that if you are listening on a device that you stayed with us while we went through this process. But we are back and resuming where we left off. So one of the things that I found that was extremely embarrassing to me is that during World War I, the unit that fought the longest of any American unit were the Harlem Hellfighters. The Harlem Hellfighters were stationed in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And when they went into war, they fought 191 continuous days. One of the most decorated units in the entire in World War II. More decorations than any other unit. And yet I didn't know about it. Why? Because history didn't tell me about it. History left that important fact out. It was also embarrassing to find out that the mayor of the city wrote the War Department saying, I don't care if these people are here to defend and even possibly die for this country. We're not going to lift a finger to help them. We're not going to lift a finger to help them. And so what this amounted to, in fact, there was almost a riot. There was a hotel, anybody that's familiar with Spartanburg and knows Church Street and the area of Kennedy Street, the library is at the corner of Church and Kennedy Street. One block north, which is towards town, there was a hotel. And in that hotel, a person walked in and, hello? Ruth? Call Marshall and tell him that we're on. And almost had a riot because when the soldier went in to buy a newspaper, some say he didn't take his hat off. And so there was almost a riot. This is how deep race relations are strained in this country. These are the people that did this and sacrificed. In fact, the first black soldier to win the Medal of Honor was in that same unit, which composed of the 369th, 370th, and 371st. And he was in the 371st. And his name was Corporal Freddie Stowers. Corporal Freddie Stowers. And he fought with such valor that he earned the Medal of Honor, It was only awarded to him almost 100 years after his death. He is from Sandy Springs, South Carolina, which is in Anderson County, which is approximately 70 miles from where I live. But I didn't know that. That would have changed my view of many things. It would have changed the view of many people had they known this information. So what we find is that the depth of our knowledge leaves out our history. It leaves out the seriousness of race relations in this country, it also denies people the right to look at me as if I have ever, or many, anybody that looks like me has ever contributed to thing that's gone on in this country. That's why it's unfair. And again, it is unfair because it has denied those people who would have made contributions, who would have looked at us differently had they known that we had done anything. And so we go around, they go around with guilt, saying, it was not me. And I realized that it was not them. And it was that type of, that has skewed everything. Now, when it comes to voting, all white people did not have the right to vote in America. At one point, you had to be a landowner. And when the Civil War was over, and I was talking about the 13th Amendment, which basically freed all the slaves, America and in the Confederate states. Now, the reason that I mention that, there were many slave states that did not join the Civil War on the Confederate side. They had slaves. The Emancipation Proclamation did not free them, but it also didn't let you know what was going on. And therefore, Ruth, hang on. Call that number and tell her we're back on.
I can't hear.
We'll be right back with you. Taking lots of time. Okay, we're back. And so,
and I don't have the number. Doesn't give me the last two digits.
Well, let me see.
366-25466.
I am back. Hopefully everybody is here. And we had some difficulties. Whoever set the show up, set it up for 15 minutes rather than the 90 minutes. But we were talking about the 13th Amendment and the freeing of the slaves. We talk about the 14th Amendment, which granted citizenship to all people born in America or naturalized citizens. And this was important, too, because now it recognized those slaves and former slaves that were here, citizenship, which meant all the rights and privileges. But what happened is we had the 15th Amendment, and the 15th Amendment allowed voting. When the 15th Amendment was passed, it was so significant that a plot was hatched in which the three top government officials would die, would be killed, would be murdered, would be assassinated because of the 15th Amendment, which granted blacks the right to vote. Of those, it was Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, and William Seward, who was the secretary of, one of the secretaries. The only one that actually was killed was Lincoln. And it was over the fact that it was too far to give blacks the right to vote. You've gone too far. And so that happened. They were given the right to vote. But understand what happened. The party had Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson was a Southerner. And when he took over as president, began dismantling the right to vote. All of the gains that had come from the Civil War were being deconstructed slowly. And what happened in that particular battle is that as we see, laws began to get passed, particularly in the South, that denied people the right to vote, denied people the right to vote. And it was finally killed when Rutherford B. Hayes was elected president of the United States. How did that happen? Rutherford B. Hayes did not win the primary. I mean, did not win the popular vote. Remember, we have an electoral college. And the electoral college made a deal with Hayes because he had promised that if he were president, he would take the troops out of the South. The troops were there to make sure that blacks got their rights. And many of the battles that we have had that we sometimes hear as riots were over the right of black people to vote. In South Carolina, we had the Phoenix riots, not Arizona, South Carolina. And in those days, all blacks were Republicans. The whites were Democrats, and they opposed blacks having the right to vote. As we look at that situation, it is a complete juxtaposition of what we have today. Now, as we talk about this, I am not telling you who to vote for. I am telling you to study the issues. Make sure that you understand what's going on. And get out and vote, because we have people, relatives, friends, people that look like us that have died for the right to vote. We don't understand the horrors of slavery. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about Ruby Bridges. Ruby Bridges was a six-year-old girl, integrated the Southern school system. And she did so. She was the only kid at this all-white school, previously all-white school. So deep was racial hatred that parents pulled their children out of the entire school, not just the grade she was in, not just the classroom she was in, but the entire school. And when she went to school every day, she was accompanied by four federal marshals to ensure that she got in. As she went by, these adults were taunting this six-year-old kid with every racial epithet, everything. They were calling her everything but a child of God. And one day, she stopped in front of the crowd. She had a teacher. The only that she had was Ruby Bridges, because of what I've described above. And she saw Ruby's lips moving, and it just scared the bejesus out of her. So when she finally got Ruby into the classroom, she asked her, "What were you saying to those people?" And this is what she found out. Every day before she went to school, passing this crowd or passed them on the way from school going home, is she always prayed for them. And that day she hadn't prayed before she started. But two parents stand out in my mind in particular. One had a small casket with a black doll in it, intimidating a six-year-old. The other one was there saying, "We're going to poison you." And so the federal marshals would not let her eat any food at the school. She had to bring it from home. Now, the significant part of this is that her grandparents did not live in that city. They lived away, and they had sharecropped this land for 25 years. When word got to the owner of the land that their granddaughter was attending an all-white school, they were thrown out in the middle of the night. After 25 years of basically free service, exploitation to the white landowner. This is how far-reaching the hatred is. And it's not going to go away in one step. But we can take every step that we can to reclaim our right to vote. Let's look at Louisiana. Louisiana has a black population of 27%, 27%. But when we start talking about gerrymandering, and Jerry came from the governor of a northern, I believe with Massachusetts or one of those states up in that area, where in order to ensure re-election, we do a census every 10 years. Every 10 years we do a census. And what that census does is it allows for the number of representatives that we have in the House, and it appoints money that's being spent. Now, when President 45 was in office, he had people afraid to register for the census because of his record, because of the way that he treated people. But the unfairness in that is that we are undercounted, therefore our representatives are not there. Now, what they've done in the party in power has the ability to draw these lines or districts, and they practice two primary areas. One is cracking, where what they'll do is they'll draw a line so that there's not enough people in a district to make it count. This is why in Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, if you follow politics at all, if you don't worry about that, has many black people that she represents. And if you think that she is going to give them fair representation, we need to talk, because it's not going to happen. And so what has happened in Louisiana is basically the same thing. There are five districts, and the way that they have drawn them is such a manner that there is only one black representative from the state, only one. And there are no possibilities of anything else, because they have, with almost surgical precision, done this. Now, the time before, they had a different map, which basically did the same thing. But as populations move, they redrew the lines to get the same result. So out of the five, there is, out of the six, there is one black representative, one. And we have 27% of the population, and I cannot believe that a free-thinking person would not choose the best candidate out of that. But we sometimes see the reverse of that, which is called packing. And what they do in terms of packing is they'll take all of the people and put them into one group so that you don't have the possibility of affecting more than one district. So this happens, and this happens to the party in power. As we look at what's taking place in our voting situation and what we have now, if we see these laws, such as in Georgia, where they're saying that if you dare give somebody a bottle of water or a diabetic, something to eat or a candy bar or something, that you are violating the law. And this is a continuation of something else that is taking place. And that is, many people are disqualified from voting because of a previous felony. And in many cases, if you look at something like the Innocence Project, you'll see that most people that are unfairly treated in this manner are treated so based on race, more unfair convictions. Let me give you an example. And what I tell you, when you vote, don't vote for the skin color of the person on the ballot. Look at them. Understand who they are, what they are, what they believe in. If you believe in the same thing that I believe in, then you are my person. Let's take a look at a case involving Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas is a justice on the Supreme Court. We had a man unfairly convicted of a crime and spent 40 years in prison. 40 years in prison. He won his case. There was absolutely no information. Police had held valuable information that would have worked on his defense. He spent 40 years in prison. He also won a civil suit that paid him a significant amount of money for the wrongful incarceration. It went to the Supreme Court. And this is one case where I know that the majority opinion was written by Clarence Thomas. And he set aside the winnings and giving this man some money for the unfair conviction. And that man was then released from prison after 40 years with a bus ticket and $10. 10. That's all that he's got after 40 years of an unfair conviction. When we look at our Supreme Court, the way that we have gotten where we are now is that several of these people lied to us, lied in front of our face, because there is a legal term that was brought out in these trials called stare decisis. Stare decisis is Latin, and what it means is how much do you depend on previous judgments? All of these people said a lot. There is nothing that we see that would overturn Roe v. Wade. Nothing. They played. Mitch McConnell would not let Merrick Garland on the court. But then when, after Trump had lost and only had a couple of months left, those same people allowed Amy Coney Barrett onto the Supreme Court. Those people made a block which throughout Roe v. Wade, hence where we are. Now, as I talk about this, I want us to look at the makeup of the Supreme Court. Of the 9, 6 were appointed by Republicans. 6. And what we have then is a court in which represents my interests, your interests, those of other people like us. And when you look at them, only 6 of them even attended public schools. They were elitist. They don't know probably the cost of a gallon of milk, the cost of a gallon of gas. They are elitist. Of the 9 justices on the court now, there is only one that has ever represented a defendant, only one. How can you understand the people that you're making judgments on when you have never worked with one? That person that has represented a defendant is Ketanji Brown Jackson. Let me tell you something else that's going on here. She was appointed because of a promise made by Joe Biden that he was going to appoint a woman to the court. As we're going through right now the testing of how our voting system works, when we talk about Louisiana and the drawing of those districts, now the point that they're trying to make is that the law must be race neutral. If we consider race, then we're going backwards. But no, no, No. Ketanji Brown Jackson says, look, the 15th Amendment was passed after the Civil War with the intent of ensuring voting rights for black citizens. Nobody else brought that up. This is why it's important to have someone who understands our position in places like that. Should we get to the point where we don't control the House or the Senate, we are in trouble because it will be extremely difficult to get anything passed. Anything passed. And we see that what happened, and the only reason we have the majority is in the Senate. It's split 50-50. And in that 50-50, the tiebreaker is the Vice President of the United States, and that's how we can get a majority. That's how we got Ketanji Brown Jackson. That's how we got much of the legislation passed that has been passed. Imagine if that were to change. Imagine if that were to change. Now, what happens is this is considered an off-year election. Why? Because we're not voting for the President of the United States. When we go to the polls, we have representatives. Now, the representative represents a district, and it's based on the population of that district. And the representation is often the result of the district lines that are drawn. And if they're drawn unfairly, then we don't have the representation that we have. Now, I've explained this before, but it's so important, I want to do it again. When we look at the House of Representatives, it's based on population. California has 40 million people. They have a great portion of representatives. Now, the difference is when it comes to Senate, there are only two representatives per state. So Wyoming, which only has 600,000 people, has as much power as California with 40 million people. And if we don't recognize that, we're going to be in difficulty. Now, we've got Herschel Walker and Warnock running. And the only way that we got that tie is because Warnock and Ossoff won in Georgia, giving us a 50-50. Now, this is why it's important to vote in off-year elections. Now, why is this significant? Because usually the party in power, which in this case is Joe Biden, the Democrats, everybody takes a shot at the other side after 2 years. And so if we don't get off of our armchair and go down and vote, we are going to be in trouble. And that trouble is not just for 2 years. It sometimes extends because Supreme Court justices are picked for life. And what we have now is a 6-3 split, a 6-3 split. We know that Kavanaugh lied his behind off to get on. Amy Coney Bryant did the same thing. Others did as well. And there is basically no oversight of what takes place there. We look at the mess that Jenny Thomas is in. And it looks like she has been on the other side. And they want to say that they have never talked about this. We're on the radio, but I have a term that I would use if we were not on the radio, and I think you know what that is. In other words, I don't believe him, her, or anybody that makes that particular statement. I do not. And so here we are in a situation where we need to do something about it. Let me talk just for a minute about voter suppression. What is voter suppression? Voter suppression are those laws which say that you cannot vote for whatever reason. Many times they're practices. What we are looking at is a situation where they pass a law and said, well, no more Sunday voting. Big deal, no more Sunday voting. But in the black community, we have a tradition of souls to the polls. After church, we go to the polls and vote. So that impacts blacks more than it does other people. When we look at what we're speaking about, we need to be very cautious of the subliminal messages that are being carried in the laws that are being passed. It sounds okay, but when we look at it, for example, let's talk the grandfather clause. Many people don't realize how racist the grandfather clause is. And let me explain to you what I'm talking about. The grandfather clause said that if you could vote, if your grandfather could vote, you can vote. And this is before the Civil War. If your grandfather could vote before the Civil War, then you can vote. People started putting in tests with the most ridiculous questions and answers you can ever imagine. How many bubbles are there in a bar of soap? What does that got to do with voting? Nothing. But black people often had to answer that question. How many jelly beans are in that jar over there? This was the foolishness that was being created around black people voting. But you could be dumber than a rock, and a rock doesn't have much brains. And if your grandfather voted before the Civil War, you could vote. So that throws out the need for any intelligence whatsoever. If there was an earthworm that had whose grandfather had voted before the Civil War, then he could vote, or she. Or if it's both, whatever. You get the point that I'm trying to make. Many of these laws have been done with that in mind. If you look at the posts that we do, and we post every week, this is the fourth of a four-part series. And if you go to it, you'll see links to the other presentation. And we look at it, and we think that many people had the right to vote all along. But let me tell you this. Black men got the right to vote in 1865, I believe, or whenever the 15th Amendment was passed. Women did not get it until the 19th Amendment was passed, the 19th. And yes, there were black women marching for suffrage. They didn't get it either. They didn't get it until the white women got it. And when we look at the Native Americans, I hate calling them Indians because the only reason we call them Indian is because that clown, Christopher Columbus, thought he was in India, didn't even make it to, he never set foot in North America. His records even demonstrate the fact that the indigenous people, the people that we want to call Indians, the Native Americans, were trading with Africa before he ever got here. We don't get access to this information. That would change our view. I've just recently done an article that's not published yet, another post, on the Ashango bone. The Ashango bone. What the heck is an Ashango bone? About math being originated 3,000-4,000 years ago with the Egyptians and some of the others. And it probably came out of there that we have the system that we have now. But the Ashango bone, instead of 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, is 18,000 to 20,000 years ago, and was discovered in Africa and showed that they had a counting system back then. With a base of 12, when we look at the Olmecs, who are located south of Mexico City, and we can see statues of those people. Look at the post that I have on that. When you go to Amazing Black History, you can do a search, O-L-M-A-C, and these people predated the Incas and the Mayans. And they had a system. Remember when 2000 came up and everybody was worried that the earth was going to end? Why on that particular date? because the Olmec calendar, which was very, very sophisticated, there's two parts. I won't go into how it works. But most people consider a year 365 and a quarter days. They didn't. They considered it 365 days, 5 hours, 49 minutes, and 12 seconds. Back then, when we look at the Pythagorean theorem that most of us learned in high school, where did it come from? Pythagoras. Pythagoras was Greek. But where did Pythagoras study? He studied in Africa. We have a post that's coming out about Timbuktu. And Timbuktu had so much knowledge there. It's a city of 10,000 people. And fully 25% of all of those people were professors or students. 25%, that shows you the importance. Value of books was more than that of gold. And we have thousands of these books that have never been translated. We know that there is information that comes from Africa that we don't get told about. For example, Onesimus, a slave owned by Cotton Mather, in the 1700s, introduced the technique vaccination into America directly from Africa. Directly from Africa. Have you been told this information before? In most cases, no. You have not. And so we are portrayed as the dumbest people on the face of the earth. When we have done things, those people, the Olmecs, knew that the morning and evening stars, although they appeared at different times and different places, were the same. When we look at Sirius, there's a Sirius A, B, and C. They have talked about C, and scientists know that it's there based on calculations, but they haven't actually laid eyes on it yet. This is how sophisticated these people were. They had a system of growing crops that didn't strip the land of all of its value. Did not strip the land of all of its value. So I won't go into George Washington Carver, but he was a soil scientist, and this is what he did. But when we look at coming up right to vote, we have to be aware of what's going on. Now, I'm going to open the mics very shortly so we can take some questions, because I don't want you to get tired of just listening to my voice. Again, those of you that are on devices, and I love you as much as I do the people on the phone. The only advantage that you have, you can listen on the phone, but that is that I can see you on the on my screen. I have up the dashboard on the platform that we're on, and I can open the mic and interact with you. I see my good friend Marshall James is on. We'll be opening up him, and he has some very relevant information all the time. I am a big fan of his, and he knows that. And this is a man that works. You know, he was working to clear off a black cemetery. In fact, it was two churches that the people in the neighborhood did not know even existed, because it was covered up by trees and brush. And you go by it now, and you can take a certain pride in it. We have often been dumped. When we look at the Massachusetts 54th, many of us may be questioning what is the Massachusetts 54th, but if you saw the movie Glory with Denzel Washington in it, that was the Massachusetts 54th. And because we are not taught history, we don't understand that the colored troops in 36, which came from the Outer Banks of North Carolina, were part of that. And there were other areas that folded into it. We were so willing to fight for our freedom that they tell you it's a war of northern aggression. But it was the South who fired the first shots. We have a woman by the name of Harriet Tubman who led troops in South Carolina and freed 750 slaves in doing that. So important was her work that she got a pension from the U.S. government and was buried with honors as a war hero. We don't hear this. And yet and still, we are touted as having done nothing. All we've done is, and let me tell you what a dog whistle is. Many years ago, those of you that may be nearly as old as I am may remember there was one case of a person collecting welfare and driving a Cadillac. One case. And when we look back at that one case, the race of that person could not be clearly defined because that person went in different places as a different race. But what happened is that picture of a black person stealing all of the welfare became the picture. So when they talk about welfare, the image that pops up into most people's mind is black. There are more white people on welfare than there are black. But we get to places where we have done this. And so we deserve the right to fight. In Phoenix, which took place in South Carolina, we had a governor of South Carolina by the name of Benjamin Pitchfork Tillman. That governor bragged that he had killed black people and he would kill more, was one of the instigators of that. And what happened is they murdered black people attempting to vote, attempting to vote. So it's not something to be taken lightly. It is not something to be taken lightly. One of the other people on the call I see is a relative of mine living in Winston-Salem. We're going to open the mics shortly. And I hope that all of you feel free to comment. If anybody else wishes to comment, you can get in on that as well. So before I open the microphones, let me give you just a caution. When you are on, if you're on a cell phone, there is a mute button, which allows us not to hear the background noise in your home. The dog barking, dishes clanking, train going by, whatever, can be disturbing to some people. Hit that, and when the line goes through the microphone, you can still hear us, but we can't hear the background. If you're on a regular phone, I believe star 6 mutes it. To unmute, star 6. To unmute a cell phone, click that icon, and we will be able to hear what you have to say. It is my intent in these broadcasts, and we broadcast, and we do this every Sunday at 4 p.m., 1 p.m. Pacific, that we have these subjects that we come up. Usually I post on Amazing Black History every Thursday. And the subject that we talk about on Sunday. So look at it. We're not limited to those things. If there are other questions that you have, now is a great time to bring them up. Because this is how we learn our history. Knowledge is power. We have basically been powerless because we have not exercised our right. Don't allow yourself to be intimidated. What I'm going to tell you just before I open the microphones is if you are registered to vote, do it. Don't be intimidated. Do not be intimidated. Otherwise, you let all of our ancestors down. You let your future generations down because you've not exercised this right. We see what happens when we don't vote people in that have our interest at heart. That's why the court is split 6-3, because of that. And when we look at what is being held in the future, what's possible, it should scare you enough that you get not only yourself, but everybody else. Now, I'm going to also suggest that you check out where you're going to vote. Now, there is early voting. Make sure that you understand that. Now, if you're using a mail-in ballot, fill it out, copy of it, fill it out, and then review it. Because wrong signature in the wrong place, and there are people there to challenge that ballot. If it needs to be witnessed, make sure that you have everything done. Sometimes you sign the ballot. Sometimes you sign the envelope to the outside. Make sure that you follow these, because that right to vote is so precious that we cannot give that up. We should not give that up. Don't let them make a monkey out of you by you not exercising your right to vote. I could have used another word besides monkey. I guess I should have, but only thing I could think of was less pleasant than that. But that's what we need to do. We need to step up. We need to get our groups together beforehand. Take yourself to vote. Make plans with other people. If you have somebody in the neighborhood that cannot get down there, talk about ways that they can do it, either mail in or get them in your car and take them down there. Wheelchairs fold up. Put the wheelchairs in the trunk. I've done that myself. And make sure, because that's important. Now, many times they tell us that this or that can't be done. There are some states, particularly on the West Coast, Washington, Oregon, California, where they're all mail-in ballots, and there is no fraud, because the cases of fraud that are being popped up in our faces right now are coming from Florida. And this is a lie that the government perpetrated, because they gave people credentials that said you can vote, and then when they voted, they did something. Do not be intimidated by that. Do not be intimidated by that. Don't let somebody take your most sacred right because of that. But you get together, have clubs, understand that there is no unimportant race. We had a swim center here in Spartanburg. And the first I knew that there was a problem is when they were trying to get the council, city council, to reverse the decision to close it. Nobody had been going to council meetings. There should not be any public meeting of a governmental entity that you don't attend or somebody doesn't attend and keep an eye on these things. Otherwise, we won't have the privileges that we have now. I think a lot of people are satisfied with what I call a hamburger equality. And what I mean by that, because we've had to go to the back door so many times over such a long period, that we come now and the fact that we can go in a fast food place in the front door and order, we think we have arrived. But I will not be satisfied until we own some of these establishments, until we have every right and privilege of anybody else. I want my history taught. And when we wonder why, the school boards make the decision as to what's being taught, what books are allowed in the school. And when we're not on the school board, we don't have a voice. And it's not the right, although it's better late than never, we should not be waiting until after it's been decided to speak up. You know, we're indignant at that point. So what we have done is we have opened the microphone.
No, that's one thing I have to master. I don't pay attention. I just go in and take the four. Okay. That's what I want. Take the four. Yeah.
Okay. Is that,
four.
Is that you that I hear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You had a comment?
No. I was just listening.
Oh, okay, because we could hear somebody in the background. I didn't know if you had a comment or question, because this is the time for them. And I do appreciate you listening and hope that you'll let other people know about us so that they can join us. We do this every Sunday. And if
all
you
right,
come
I'll
up with a question later, what's that?
I'll try to tune in again next week.
Oh, every Sunday.
Same time, 4 o'clock?
Yeah, and what we do is we post on Amazing Black History on Thursdays. You can see the subject matter that's going to be our primary discussion. And that doesn't mean that you can't ask about something else that has happened previously, because that's the intent of the whole program. So, yeah, if you can get all of Winston-Salem to turn out, that'd be great.
I'll see what
Marshall.
I can do.
Marshall, are you there? Marshall, are you there? You must
Hello.
Be muted.
Yes,
yes sir. How
yes.
are you today?
I'm fine. How about you doing today? How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Did you learn anything
yes.
today?
Yes, it's wonderful to just lay here and listen to you tell us about our rights, and until a lot of us, until we exercise our rights, there's not even a point of having them. We need to exercise mm-hmm. our rights. You have a right as anybody else have, so we need to exercise our rights. Speak up, speak out, say something. Don't sit there and then when it's all over with, you get able home and say, I started to say something.
Yes, sir. And we need to get our young people out to vote, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, need to get them out there to vote. We are meeting here out in Wellford on tomorrow evening at the New Trinity Baptist Church. We are organizing the Florence Chapel alumni. And everybody that has gone to the Florence Chapel school, I don't care if it's in the first grade or the third grade or the 12th grade, if you ever went to Florence Chapel School, we'll be meeting at New Trinity tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, organizing the Florence Chapel alumni.
Okay,
yes.
Let me mention something else. If you've got a pencil and paper, anybody in the Spartanburg area, be aware that on Tuesday, October 25th at 7 o'clock in the library is going to be a very, very interesting program. And the program is Resisting Jim Crow. And it's the autobiography of John A. McFaul. And this was discovered by a relative, used his written materials and everything else to talk about it. See, most people think that we sat around doing slavery, doing nothing, that we were singing and dancing for the master. Yeah, we may have sung and danced, but we knew if we didn't sing and dance that he was going to whip us. And that is another of the horrors that come up. That program is going to be from 7 to 8:30. The author of the book will be there, and you can purchase the book, I believe, for $24. Yeah, it'll be available for $24, and you may even get an autograph on that book. But that is Resisting Jim Crow. It's the autobiography of John A. McFaul. And I believe he was from South Carolina, and that is Thursday, October 25th at 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. That's the main library Tuesday, which is the main library, which is there at Kennedy and Church Street. There's great parking. They have some amazing programs that should be overflowing that we sometimes don't attend because we don't know about them. There needs to be a way that we can get information out like this. So some of the other cities may have programs like this, may not. Maybe they should, and maybe we should work to get those programs there. So that's Tuesday, October 25th, 7 to 8:30. It's going to be in the Barrett Room. Many of us that attend programs there know. I used to do a series on some of these programs at the library. They were discontinued during COVID, but when they come back, they tell me that I'll be on there. And again, that's a great place to get questions and answered. They also have the Chautauqua programs, in which they have a person representing a historic person that is in character for that role, and also a question and answer. Anything else? If not, I am going to end this shortly, but I do want to thank all of you that are listening, whether by device or by cell phone. Thank you. And most of all, get out and vote. Encourage other people to go out and vote. Our youth, if we end up without the majority of the House and the Senate, we are going to be in for a long road to hoe. And I don't want to see us do that again, because that's taking a step backwards. It's not just a two-year step back. It is monumental, because those positions that come up on the Supreme Court are lifetime. Many of the others are as well. If you can't find a candidate that you can support, consider running yourself. It's not unreasonable. So with that, the program is Did You Know? Success Leaves Footprints. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie, and I will see you again next Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.
Be blessed. Bless you. God bless.